Our topic that we're going to consider here for the next handful of Sundays, however long it takes us to do it, but we're going to be taking a look at things related here to Article 2, the sovereignty of God, and election and predestination, namely this afternoon, predestination. We want to take a look at that word. We want to take a look at its use in the Scripture. We've got a, as we go to the Word of God, we need to take the Word of God as it comes to us and what the Lord says. The Lord says what He means what He says. Now, my tendency, I don't know about you, but my tendency is, well, let me back up. I'll talk about my tendency in here in a minute. But the Lord instructs us, and He tells us about things in His Word. That's the reason it's important for each of us to be in the Word of God. We need to believe what the Lord believes, and my in the Scripture, okay, there's things that are directly told us in the Scripture, okay? We have the Scripture that just tells us straight the way a thing is, okay? Then we have in the Scripture example. Okay? We meet one day out of seven to worship and praise God and refrain from working by command of the Lord. I'll give you that. Okay? I'll give you that to think about. We meet on the first day of the week by example. Okay? You see that? There's no direct directive in the Scripture for us to meet. Okay? There is one to honor the hallow the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Okay? So one day out of seven. But we meet on Sunday by the example of the Lord meeting with His church two Sundays in a row. Okay? You see that? So we have that way that the Scripture teaches. It teaches us directly, teaches us by example. And then it rolled up in there, there is a spirit, if you will, of the Scripture. In our day, with the technology that we have, we can take technology, which in and of itself is not bad, but we can use it for wicked things that the Scripture doesn't name directly, but we know by the spirit of the Scripture that it's just not right. We don't belong there with it, okay? See how we learn there? And so we need to take the Word of God, we need to take what the Lord tells us, and as we follow the spirit of the Scripture, because that's important, it's necessary for us to do that. We need to have wisdom. We pray for wisdom in applying the Scripture. Something that really the Lord has impressed upon me as your pastor and as a child of God is I need to have a wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and ability in the Scripture. But we need to have application of the Scripture also. We need to be able to take the Scripture and apply it right, okay? And so not just that it's this thing that we know about, as James writes, we have knowledge of the Scriptures, but we might be doers of the Word. There's the application, okay? So in this life that we have as children of the Lord, it's not a spectator sport. It's not. And take what the Lord says and apply it to living life. And if we're going to have the testimony, it'll be others that decide whether we are Christ-like or not. And by the way, what we say and what we do and how we go, our conversation, we are a bad witness to the world of things in Christ or a good witness of things in Christ. We're all a witness. But are we a good one or am I a poor one? And so, there's those things. Okay, now back to my tendency. My tendency is, I don't know if you're like this or not, but my tendency is to take something from the Scripture here, something from the Scripture here, and then, like I said, the spirit of the Scripture, I'll take something where the Lord talks about it over here, and I'll take it and I'll drag it over here and apply it to something else that it may not belong. Okay? We've got to watch out for that. We may hear something that sounds good and makes sense until we would get into Scriptures and dig it all out and find out that what was said and what was implied to this over here may not even apply. Okay, you see what I'm saying? So just those are just things about the Word of God and how we take it and use it and apply it that we need to be aware of. So what I want to do is I want to take a look at this word predestination. And I want to take a look at that straight out word, okay? It's one Greek word. And then we want to take a look at that. And then we're also going to go to two other passages where that Greek word is used, but it's not translated in English to predestination or predestinate, but it's translated another way. Okay, and then we're going to take a look at some other words in the course of this study. And we just might understand what the Scripture says and what our Lord believes and gives us about these things. In Romans chapter 8, hallmark passage, right? It's a hallmark passage indeed, a passage that we love and enjoy very, very much. Verse number 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die, but if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. All right? Sanctification of the child of God. The Spirit of God's at hand. He lives within. That's the reason we're alive. But this old man, he still hates God. Your flesh hates God still. And we got to take this old man and we got to bend him. We got to mortify him. We got to take him, nail him down. Okay? Because he's still against God. The old man still, he's not saved. The old man is not saved. The mind is not saved. It's the Spirit of God within that has saved our soul. We are rescued. And we have that, the Spirit of God within. We have that still small voice that will lead us and help us and direct us. But we can quench him. Right? Quench not the Spirit. If we're told to not quench the Spirit, it means that we can. And if we're told to not to grieve the Spirit, it means that we can. So we need to be sensitive to that still small voice that the Lord dealt with Elijah there. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, and that's us, right? Through the Spirit's do mortify you, me. We got to do that. It's not spectators. It's not laying around waiting for the Lord to do something. We have a charge, okay? For as many, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Got the Spirit of God within, you're a child of God, okay? And so he goes on here, not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, the spirit of adoption. We cry, Abba, Father, verse number 15. That's a wonderful thing, wonderful consideration all in and of itself. Come down through here in verse 19, the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. We're looking for that new body. Can't wait. Right, Brother Nicky? Can't wait. No more blisters on the heels with that body. Amen? No more going to the VA, amongst other problems that we have, right? All right, and so it comes on down through here. The creation groans of verse number 22. First fruits of the Spirit, verse number 23. We groan, waiting for the adoption to which the redemption of the body, waiting for that new body. John says, even so come, Lord Jesus. He sees the Lord, and Lord manifests all that stuff to him on the Isle of Patmos, and he writes it for our admonition. He said, bring it on. Come on, Lord, come on. And he talks about hope here. No so hope in Christ, not lottery kind of hope, but hope, no so hope in the Lord. He says it's going to happen. Okay? We wait for patience for it. Verses 26. Let's pick it up here. Get the context. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Okay? That's our physical problem. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Okay? So the Spirit of God works. Verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We pray. We need to pray in the will of the Lord. Seek to pray in the will of the Lord. Seek to pray in the Spirit. As Brother Peter, the Apostle Peter says, okay, we need to seek to do that. But when we mess up, the Lord takes it and makes it right. He gets it adjusted. We ask for something. Jim asks for something for himself. Jim asks for something for his family. Jim asks for something for you. Jim asks something for himself. I think I said that. Jim's selfish. And the Lord tweaks that. The Lord Jesus says, Father, he doesn't need that, but he needs this. Father, he doesn't need that. Just wait. See, the Lord Jesus, he's active at all that kind of thing. Isn't that wonderful that the Lord is there? But do we pray? There's a good message. Does Jesus have any prayers to intercede for on your behalf? Amen? Verse 28. Boy, we've got all kinds of stuff we could preach on in here. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, To them who are the called according to his purpose, get the whole verse, all the entire sentence, we're called to the Lord, right? Because, or for, whom he did foreknow, Brother Doug brought up some lessons about this out of 2 Peter, if my memory serves me right, and getting touched over on this, for whom he did foreknow, okay, foreknowledge of God, God is omniscient. He knows everything. Everything? Everything. God knows what you're gonna think. Everything. God knows everything. Everything. There's not a thing God doesn't know. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. And in that power, he is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows the beginning from the end. And when you don't have any time, he knows all about that too. Get that straight. We need to get that straight. He is way above us, as Isaiah and the Lord speaks there. For whom he did foreknow, he has knowledge of all. Now understand, the Lord didn't look down through time to see who was going to be saved. That's a doctrine that's been promoted and been told for a handful of decades coming up here to our time, and likely held to even before that. The Lord in his power, looking down through time, all things being as they are in the fall of Adam, saw no man, woman, boy, or girl saved. Okay? He saw no one. That's what his knowledge told him. Not who would, but that none would come. Because we're dead. Okay? So, whom he did foreknow, so then he undertook to foreknow some. To know beforehand, that is foresee. He knew about you and me, and we who are here and saved. He knew about us before the foundation of the world. And he knew about us, he purposed to know about us, and he did that. Brother Jim, what about me? Well, what about you? Are you saved? Praise the Lord and glorify him in it. If you're here and you're not saved, Brother Jim, what about me? I'm not saved. Did the Lord foreknow me? None of your business. Your business is to deal with what the Lord has told you. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I tell you what, that's a problem that will make you labor and heavy laden if you spend some time on it and think about it and consider it. The eternal ramifications of the lack of the salvation of the soul. You need the Lord, okay? But to we who are saved, church here at Rome's being written to, those who are saved in the Lord's church, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. That word predestinate here, same word used all through the Scriptures, these handful of verses where that's used, okay? Predestination is different than foreknowledge. This is a predetermining. The definition of the word is to limit in advance, to predetermine, to determine before. God ordained some things. He ordained it regarding those that he foreknew. The Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, knew Jim Duke before there was even time, and he set his love on me to save me in time. And when Jesus came to give himself a ransom for his people, he did so for me. He was thinking about me that day. Now, how is that known? How is that known? Well, because when the Lord sent the Spirit of God and sent the Word of God and the preacher and the witness of good, right things, I believed. I believe it was a miracle. Just like the little baby, the Dobbs friend and her husband that just delivered today. That's a miracle. It's a miracle when a person is saved. Whom he did foreknow, he predetermined... that he would save me. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, listen to this, to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's all we're going to have time for this afternoon. But I want us to think about this. This word predestinate is two Greek words talking about before and to know. Okay, it is akin. It sounds like it is that of foreknowledge, but it is an active working. The knowledge, the foreknowledge is knowing that one and the Lord choosing. I think it's connected to that election, that word election. But the predestinating is that, what's it say? To be conformed to the image of the Son. When the Lord said, Jim Duke is going to be conformed to the image of my Son. See, that's even if you want, more active, isn't it? It's one thing to know me and to set his love on me. But it's another thing for him to now begin to do something for me, predetermined, in front, prior to knowing what he would do, to feel, to pre-feel, to pre-perceive, to pre-resolve, to pre-understand what he was going to do, predestination. Bible word. We don't need to be afraid of it. It's there and it's true. And praise God that it is. Here's what the Lord, this passage says, that he is predestined that would happen. He for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. We take a look at that, to be conformed to the image of his Son, to take a look at that portion of the passage. To be conformed to is the Greek word. Y'all remember when had those messages that I preached about conformity? Remember that rock? Clarissa likes to collect rocks everywhere we go. She wants a rock. I don't have one of those kind of rocks. I want to get one of the kind of. And so we got rocks all over the place outside. She might have some rocks inside too. But anyway, remember that piece of granite, purple granite I think I used? Remember how I took that stretch wrap and put it over top of that? The rock is Jesus, and we're to be conformed. We have a directive from the Lord to be conformed to him. And that's what it says here, was predestined by the Lord for the child of God to be conformed to the image of his Son. That word to be conformed to is the word, as I said, is to be fashioned like unto. What the Lord has predestined is that I will be like Christ. That you, if you're here and saved, that you will be like Christ. Are you? It's a struggle here, isn't it? But we should well struggle with it, shouldn't we? We should be pursuing it and ensuing it. That's that mortification of the flesh that was talked about earlier in the passage. We should be doing so. How is it? I mean, it says conform to the image of his Son. This word image is talking about his likeness, his statue or profile, representation, resemblance, an image. To be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what's being predestinated. You know when that'll be accomplished? Well, let's turn over here quickly and read what Brother John says in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. It's predestined that I will be conformed, you will be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. He foreknew us. He predestined, in this passage, he predestined that this would be. How will it be? Do I look like Christ now? We're not talking about physically. Well, maybe sometimes I do. And Clarissa would say, sometimes he doesn't. Because she knows me on this earth better than anybody else. My children would say, sometimes Daddy doesn't look like Christ when I don't behave well. But the Lord's predestined that I will be. All right, 1 John chapter 3, let's read here. You know when this is accomplished? For every child of God, for Lot, for Samson, for Saul, for Joseph, for Daniel. You know when this is accomplished? 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, so great a love that we should be called the sons of God." Jim Duke to be called the son of God? You that are here, you're a son of God? Wow, what a wonderful thing. "Therefore the world knoweth us not." The Lord Jesus didn't fit in. Nor will we, because it knew him not. Beloved, verse 2, "Now are we the sons of God." Know that. Don't have to guess. Don't have to wonder. If you've got Christ as Savior, he's got you right now, present tense, son of God. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." You can't see it. Can't see how it's going to be. Can't see what we'll look like and how we'll be able to operate. We know it's a promise that will be likened to the angels, the Lord Jesus Christ said. But we just don't know what it really, really looks like. Because we haven't seen an angel. We haven't seen physically the Lord with these eyeballs. But you know what? "It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Because or for we shall see him as he is." When you see Jesus, your Savior, count on it. You've been conformed to his image because you can see him. It's the only way that you and I can be in his presence. And this is what has been predestined for us. What about the time in the middle? Well, what are you going to do with it? That's answered right there. Because see, when the Lord saves, how long is he saved for? I think it's called eternal life, isn't it? I think it's everlasting life. Salvation. Never to be unsaved again. And when he saves, we're going to be conformed to the image of his son. Lot has been conformed to the image of the Son of God. By the testimony of Apostle Peter, we know that Lot was saved. As terrible as his life was. But what did he do with what's in the middle? Can he lay what he did with his life that's in the middle between salvation of the Lord by the Lord and being conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ? Lot's there in glory with the Lord. Right? Isn't that the testimony of the Scripture? Hadn't he been conformed to the image of... He's able, in the Spirit, to live there in the presence of the Lord. What did he do with what was in between? From salvation to then. What are you and I doing with what's in between? Can we lay our failure to obey our Lord at the feet of the Lord because of this predestination? Oh, the saints are going to persevere. Because that's the only way the Lord saves, is permanently. He's predestinated that. As I've mentioned to you here recently, Lot, I believe, the way I reckon in Scripture, Lot took the low road. Abraham had times he took the high road, there with his son of Moriah, right? Abraham had times he took the low road, didn't he? Yeah, think about it. Think about it. So, in regards to this passage, predestination has to do with what the Lord's promised us on the other side of this life. But you and I in that same chapter, in Romans chapter 8, have got a challenge to pin this old man down. We've got the Spirit, and may the Lord help us that we see that. We have the Spirit living within, but this wonderful thing of prayer. Prayer. I told you, it's so for the child of God that the Lord begins to stir. We've got revival services come. I pray that we get stirred up by the Lord before them. But we've been given prayer that the Lord says, "Ask and you shall receive." James tells us we don't receive anything or because we don't ask. But why is that there? If everything's predestined, why is that there? Why is that there? Oh, we're going to be like Christ. Lot is. Saul is. Samson is. What are we going to do with it? What's in the middle? We've got the Spirit of God living within. We've got that of prayer. And you and I live in a day and we got more Bibles than we can read. Amen? In many different forms. So, an interesting consideration. Let's go over here to Romans chapter 8 and let's take a look at this quickly. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 30, it goes on to say, another use, this is the second use of this word, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. What a blessing that is to be called the brother of the Lord Jesus. Go, he tells Mary Magdalene, go tell my brethren. Isn't that something? Wow. Wow, man, just let that get a hold of you. The Lord Jesus is calling himself your brother. He might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Now we've stepped over into time, hadn't we? In time, I told you this morning, I had religion. I had as much Baptist doctrine that I could carnally get a hold of, which it's spiritually discerned. You just don't really get it until you're saved. And you know what? In spite of all that, and in spite of thinking I knew how to save myself and all that, the Lord Jesus Christ came and visited me. He sent people to me. He sent people to witness to me. He sent preachers to preach to me and preach to me about being a Baptist. Oh, I heard plenty about that. And that wasn't wrong. But that was preaching that was going to the people of God and to the Lord's church, which is well there. But they preached to me about my need of Jesus and my sins and hell and damnation and brimstone and fire and the lake of fire and being separated from God forever and being condemned in my sins, and showed me Jesus Christ having lived, suffered, bled, and died, being buried, and risen again for me. For me. For me. He did that for me. He called me one day. Is he calling you? It ain't going to be a flash of light. It ain't going to be a lightning strike. It ain't going to be a host of angels, heavenly, you know, a host of angels singing a great heavenly chorus. It's by the still small voice of the Lord. Is he calling you? You're a sinner. You need a Savior. You need me. You need Jesus. Believe in me. Repent of your sins. And trust in my Son. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called in time. And whom he called, them he also justified. Now it's back what the Lord just did. Well, for us in time, after we're saved, the righteousness of Christ imputed in time, we're justified. If you're justified, made just as if you've never sinned, it's because you've got the righteousness of Christ. Justification. Are you justified? It's an automatic. You've got the righteousness of Christ. Are you not justified? You've got somebody else's righteousness. Might be your own, might be somebody else's you claim, or none. But if you're justified, that's something God does for the sinner. He justifies them just as if they've never sinned. Before the Father, because of the great thing that Christ has done for me, it's as if I've never sinned. Wow. Called, justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. And we come back to John. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. We long for our Lord to come.